నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 7 చాప్టర్ 15 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఫర్ సివిలైజ్డ్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్ టెక్స్ట్ 27. ఏష వై భగవాన్ సాక్షాత్ ప్రధాన పురుషేశ్వర యోగైశ్వరైర్విమృగ్యాంగ్రిర్ లోకోయం మన్యతే నరం. ఏ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డూయింగ్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ is the master of all other living entities and of the material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyasa. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. Purport: the example of Lord Krishna's being the supreme personality of Godhead is appropriate in regard to understanding the spiritual master. The spiritual master is called Sevaka Bhagavan, the servitor personality of Godhead, and Krishna is called Sevya Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead who is to be worshipped. The spiritual master is the worshipper God, whereas the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna is the worshipable God. This is the difference between the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. Another point: Bhagavad Gita, which constitutes the instructions of the supreme personality of Godhead, is presented by the spiritual master as it is, without deviation. Therefore, the absolute truth is present in the spiritual master. As clearly stated in text 26, Jnana Deepa Prade, the supreme personality of Godhead gives real knowledge to the entire world, and the spiritual master, as a representative of the supreme Godhead, carries the message throughout the world. Therefore, on the absolute platform, there is no difference between the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. If someone considers the supreme personality, Krishna or Lord Ramachandra, to be an ordinary human being, this does not mean that the Lord becomes an ordinary human being. Similarly, if the family members of the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of the supreme personality of Godhead, consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being, this does not mean that he becomes an ordinary human being. The spiritual master is as good as the supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore, one who is very serious about spiritual advancement must regard the spiritual master in this way. Even a slight deviation from this understanding can create disaster in the disciples' Vedic studies and austerities. So I seek the blessings of the assembled devotees in order to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam. Definitely not qualified, especially in any verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, but especially today's verse in which Prabhupada is speaking about how one should not consider a spiritual master as an ordinary person. So once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that which is the most important verse in all of the Vedic literatures. So Prabhupada said, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tata Guru Tasyaite Katita Hyarta Prakashante Mahatmana. One who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, for him all the purports of the Vedic knowledge, Vedic scriptures, are automatically revealed from within. So this is the most important verse according to Srila Prabhupada, because somehow or other, if one develops this strong faith, not only in the Supreme Lord, but also the representative of the Supreme Lord, then, in fact, all the purports of the Vedic knowledge are revealed. In fact, the last line of the purport, Prabhupada is saying, even a slight deviation from this understanding, what understanding? That is to consider spiritual master as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can create disaster in the disciples' Vedic studies and austerities. Just like suppose a plane is supposed to go in a particular direction, even a slight change in the angle, instead of landing at Bombay, it may land in Moscow. Because over a period of time, the slight angle actually it matters. It may land up in a completely different direction. So that's why Prabhupada says that even a slight deviation from this understanding can create disaster in the disciples' Vedic studies and austerities. So basically, Prabhupada is talking about two points in the purport. In the purport of the previous verse, Prabhupada said that we may see that some of the family members of the spiritual master, they may consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person. So seeing them, their disciple may also consider the spiritual master as ordinary. So then, in order to refute that argument, Narada Muni is saying that even when the supreme, what to speak of spiritual master, even when the Supreme Personality of God had appeared, he was considered as an ordinary human being by when his family members or who had personal relationship with him. What to speak of the spiritual master? But that does not mean that if some people consider the Supreme Lord as an ordinary being, that does not mean that he is an ordinary human being. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, some people may consider the spiritual master as an ordinary human being, or any great devotee as an ordinary human being, but that does not mean that one should accept the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. So in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidura meets Uddhava, when Vidura was going on a pilgrimage, Vidura actually meets this great devotee of the Lord, Uddhava, who is considered to be the most confidential devotee of the Lord. So then, as soon as Vidura met Uddhava, Vidura asked a series of questions to Uddhava regarding the welfare of the Yadu dynasty and regarding the welfare of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, the first question he asked is that, how is Lord Krishna? How is Lord Balaram? And then also asks about the welfare of the other family members of the Yadu dynasty. So Prabhupada says that, because if Krishna is satisfied, then it means that all the family members will be satisfied. Everyone will be satisfied. So that is why first he asked about Lord Krishna, then he asked about the other family members. So then, as soon as Uddhava hears about Vidura's questions, Uddhava immediately goes into ecstasy. Because he was such a dear devotee of the Supreme Lord, so as soon as when he heard he's asking about Lord Krishna, then he immediately went into ecstasy. So then it is explained, then he came from the other world. He came from his spiritual platform and somehow he controlled his ecstasy. Then he started answering Vidura. So there, Uddhava is saying that, my dear Vidura, the son of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our own welfare? So Vidura, when he was actually going on the pilgrimage, he actually got the hint that the Yadu dynasty has been annihilated and Krishna has gone back to the spiritual world. But still, in order to confirm, he asked this question. So Uddhava could actually understand the mood of Vidura. So in order to sympathize with Vidura, he said that Krishna is like the sun of the world. When the sun is set, actually everyone is in darkness. So similarly, because Krishna has disappeared from the world, actually all of us, both the members of the Yadu dynasty, in fact the whole world is in darkness. So what can I say to you about our own welfare? So in this way, Uddhava was actually sympathizing with Vidura. So then, Uddhava says, Durbhago bata lokoyam yadavo nitaramapi ye samvatsanto na vidur harim meena ivodupam. The universe with all its planets is most unfortunate. Uddhava is saying the whole world has become unfortunate because when Krishna appeared, he actually displayed so many wonderful pastimes. He performed such superhuman tasks. But still, those who are less intelligent, they considered Krishna to be an ordinary human being. And what to speak of these people? But even the family members, even the members of the Yadu dynasty considered Krishna to be merely as the super soul who has incarnated, who has appeared in their family. They could not actually understand Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Just any more than a fish could identify the moon. So you want to understand just simply Krishna the super soul is not the highest understanding, because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. That is like the highest realization of the absolute truth. Like one devotee was giving the example, like different people try to realize the absolute truth. The absolute truth has three features: Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman feature. The Brahman feature is like the lowest realization of the absolute truth. It's like suppose somebody is inviting to your house and he just gives milk, just boiled milk. So, okay, you are hungry and then you take the boiled milk, you are satisfied. So that is like the Brahman realization. Like Paramatma realization, it's like you boil the milk, put some sugar, and you can put some kesar, jaifal, and different dry fruits. So then the taste increases. So Paramatma realization is higher. Just like the milk boiled with the different kinds of fruits or dry fruits. And Bhagavan realization is like Prabhupada said that 400 types of milk sweets can be made out of milk. It's like tasting rasgulla, rasmalai, or sandesh, barfi. They are also made of milk. All three preparations are made of milk. But those milk sweets are even more relishable. So to understand the personality of God, the Bhagavan realization is the highest realization. So Yadus, they simply considered Krishna the super soul, which is not the highest. So Prabhupada gives the analogy that yes, like fish sometimes considered, they could not identify the greatness of the moon. So it is said that moon appeared from the milk ocean. So sometimes one may wonder, like we have heard of salty ocean, we have only experienced a salty ocean. How is it that, how can we believe that there is a milk ocean? So such people, they should know that earth is also called as go. Go means cow. So cow produces two things, milk and urine. So for a person who is having liver problem, he is supposed to take cow's urine. And he is not supposed to take cow's milk. So he will have experience of only cow's urine. But that does not mean that but he should also take information from others that cow produces also milk. Although he may not have any experience of milk. So similarly, one may not know that there is milky ocean, but one should take information from the scriptures that there is also a milk ocean which is present in this universe. And moon appeared from the milk ocean. But the fishes who are actually within the milk ocean, they considered milk to be, they considered moon to be just another aquatic. It is just simply a little more effulgent. So they did not understand the greatness of the moon. So similarly, the Yadus, although Krishna appeared in their own dynasty, they merely considered Krishna as a super soul. They did not actually understand the Krishna's position as the supreme personality of God. So in this way we see that even some of the family members of Krishna, they considered, they did not understand Krishna's supreme position. In fact, later in the third canto, when Uddhava was narrating that how he met Lord Krishna before Lord Krishna departed from this material world to the spiritual world. So that time, Uddhava is asking few questions to Lord Krishna. He is saying that how he is bewildered about the Supreme Lord's activities. It is said, normally, like even in a company, like suppose in a company wants to recruit people, they would want people who will actually work for the company for a long time. People want generally expect consistency. Devamrat Maharaj just explaining in one of the classes that how, like in Australia, when the companies, they want to recruit people, they especially prefer like Indians and Chinese. Because they feel like at least these people, they have some sense control and they will actually work for a more, they will show some consistency. So consistency and faith go well together. And inconsistency and contradictory behavior and faith go ill together. So when a person shows some contradictory behavior or when he is like inconsistent, so then some people lose faith in such a person. So, but in the personality of Krishna, there are so many contradictions are there. So Uddhava is saying, karmani anihasya bhavo bhavasyate. He says that even the great learned sages, they are actually disturbed in their intelligence when they see the activities of you. And what kind of activities you exhibit? You are the Supreme Lord. You are actually completely satisfied within. Karmani anihasya. Actually, you have no desire, but still you appear to be engaged in so many fruitive activities. People engage in fruitive activities because they are attached to certain desire. But then Uddhava is saying that you have no desire, but you are still appear to be engaged in so many fruitive activities. Not only that, actually you are unborn, but you appear to take birth from Vasudev and Devaki. So this is completely inconceivable. This is a contradiction. And not only that, you are actually the controller of the invincible time. Time is so powerful that even great personalities in this world, they are actually ultimately destroyed by time. And Uddhava is saying that you are the controller of the invincible time. So that means you should never become fearful. But then you flee out of fear of the enemy, and you actually take shelter of a fort. When I think Kalevan attacked, so that time Krishna flew from Mathura and then he built this fort of Dwaraka, and then he gave shelter to all the Mathuravasis and then he came to fight. So all these activities are so inconceivable. And then he says that you don't need something from outside to enjoy. You are completely satisfied within you. But still, you appear to be engaged in household affairs in the company of 16,108 women. So these activities are completely bewildering to me. So Prabhupada says in the purport that pure devotees of the Lord are not very much interested about philosophical speculation about the transcendental knowledge of the Lord. They are simply satisfied in hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. But still, some of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are even bewildering to the pure devotees like Uddhava. So that is why, but then although these activities are bewildering to Uddhava, but Uddhava put forward these questions to Supreme Personality of Godhead. So certainly sometimes one may actually get some doubt in the behavior of the great souls. But that does not mean that we lose faith in the great souls, but we humbly inquire from the great souls or from other great souls. But it's not that one should become rebellious and lose faith in the great souls. And the next verse, Uddhava is saying that your eternal self, Uddhava is telling to Krishna, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time. That means, he's saying that you know past, present and future. So when you know past, present and future, you should not, a person will not become bewildered. People become fearful or they become bewildered because they do not know what is going to come in the future. And they do not understand that, they do not understand because of the past sinful activities they are undergoing the present reactions. But then Krishna knows past, present and future. So there is no question of him becoming bewildered. And not only Krishna knows past, present and future, and he is eternally self-intelligent. It is not that he knows past, present and future only for a particular time, but eternally he actually has the knowledge of past, present and future. But still, so that means Krishna, whenever Krishna has some problem, when a person has certain bewilderment, he has no need to consult others. Krishna should be able to consult within himself. There is no need to consult with others. But still, sometimes when Jarasandha was going to attack Dwaraka or in different situations, Krishna was consulting Uddhava, like, what should I do? So Uddhava is saying that although you are able to consult within yourself, but still you appear to be bewildered and you are consulting me, although you are never bewildered. And this act of yours is bewildering to me. So this is the actually question of Uddhava. So one should understand that Krishna's position is completely transcendental. It is said, one of the devotees was saying in his class that even if Krishna wants, actually he cannot experience material miseries. So that is a transcendental position of Krishna. Like sometimes people may want to experience material miseries in order to get this thing. But even if Krishna wants, he cannot experience material miseries. And usually when a person is bewildered, he approaches another person for guidance. And a person who actually, who is giving guidance, he should have experience of those problems. When he has experience of those problems, maybe he will be able to give better guidance. People basically will approach such kind of persons. But then, Krishna is actually guiding Arjuna, but it is not that Krishna had experienced those problems, that is why he is giving guidance. Krishna's position is completely transcendental. He never experienced material misery, but still he could give complete full guidance. And another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Swayambhu Manu had three daughters, Akuti, Prasuti and Devahuti. So he married this daughter Akuti to the sage Ruchi. So after he married, he made a strange request. He said that when you actually beget a son, you should give your son to me. I want to raise my grandson. So in the Vedic culture, there is a tradition that when the parents, they don't have a son, when they have only a daughter, and when they give their daughter in marriage to another man, they make a request, okay, when you give birth to your son, you give the son to me, because in order to carry on the dynasty. But then, Swayambhu Manu had two sons, Prevrat and Uttanapad. Why did he make this request to Ruchi? Because Swayambhu Manu knew that in the future, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajna, is going to appear in the womb of Akuti. He wanted to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that is why he made this request, although he had two sons. And it is described, from the womb of Akuti, the Supreme Lord, Yajna, and the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, known as Dakshina, they took birth. And then Yajna was married to Dakshina. So then one may wonder, what is this is happening, that both were born from the same womb of Akuti, Yajna and Dakshina, the Supreme Lord and the Goddess of Fortune. But then how can they get married? They are like brother and sister. So one may be bewildered. But then the Supreme Lord's position is completely transcendental. So all his activities are completely transcendental. So that is the faith, that is that leap of faith one has to have. Like if, when a person has that faith, then he'll be able to actually get the mercy of the Lord. That is why Satsvarupa Maharaj writes that devotees should not feel embarrassed to accept the activities of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes a devotee may feel embarrassed, oh, why Krishna is doing like this. So they may not want to speak. So then he says they should not be embarrassed. So how do we actually develop this faith in the Supreme Lord? How do we develop when we hear about this like contradictory activities of the Supreme Lord, how a person will not get bewildered? What is the solution? So Krishna is saying the 10th chapter of the Gita, Bhuya eva mahabaho shunume paramam vachah yatteham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. Krishna is saying that I am again imparting this transcendental knowledge about my opulences to you, O mighty armed Arjuna, for your own benefit. Because Krishna actually previously described about his opulences in brief in the 7th chapter and also in the 9th chapter. But now in the 10th chapter, he is exclusively going to speak about his opulences. Why? Because when a person hears about the greatness of the person, then he will actually he will develop respect. When we hear about the Supreme Lord's opulences, that is the cause of the development of devotional service, bhakti. So Prabhupada say, it is explained that Krishna is actually addressing Arjuna as Mahabahu. Mahabahu means mighty armed. So Krishna is saying that, so you are very powerful warrior. You may be expert in actually killing the enemies, but you should also be, you should also use your intelligence in trying to understand me. So we can see that when we hear the reading of Shastras, it's not just meant for certain kind of people. Krishna is recommending even the Kshatriyas are supposed to read the Shastras. And we see that when a person hears about the Supreme Lord, he actually, that will actually, one will develop an awe and reverence to the Supreme Lord, and that will result in devotional service. So that is why when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he said that taking the darshan of the deity form of the Lord without doing hearing and chanting is simply an eye massage. So hearing is hearing and chanting is most important. Once Lord Ranganath was going on a procession, so that time Harikatha was going on, so all the devotees offered obeisances to Lord Ranganath. So one devotee sarcastically commented, see, Lord Ranganath has come to disturb the Harikatha. So Lord Ranganath heard it. So he told the pujari, so now onwards, for the next 1 year, stop this procession. So because Lord wanted the hearing and chanting should go on. So when, in fact, even now, on that particular day every year, Lord Ranganath's procession does not go on. So when a person does not do hearing and chanting, then the service will become burden. So that is why when a person hears about the Supreme Lord, he will not get bewildered. In the killing of Kaliya pastime, that when Krishna was actually under the coils of Kaliya, all the Vrajavasis, they came, when they heard the news that Krishna is under the coils of Kaliya, they came to the banks of Yamuna. And just by seeing that sight, they actually completely fainted. They became very sad and they became unconscious. But Lord Balaram, he was actually standing and he was actually smiling by seeing that how Krishna is actually under the coils of Kaliya. So it is explained that Lord Balaram is addressed as Madhava. So usually Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. But here, the word used, the meaning of the word Madhava is the master of intelligence. Because Lord Balaram knew the greatness of Lord Krishna, he knew the opulences of Lord Krishna, he knew that Krishna is going to subdue Kaliya and he is going to come out of Yamuna. So he did not get bewildered because he had knowledge of Krishna. So a person becomes bewildered only when a person does not have complete knowledge of the Supreme Lord. As in the Ishopanishad, Prabhupada says that the incompleteness we experience is because of incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. So when a person has incomplete knowledge of the complete whole, then a person experiences incompleteness. Especially when a person goes through different miseries, he experiences incompleteness. So then Krishna says, Yomam ajam anadim cha vetti loka maheshwaram asam mudasa martyeshu sarva pape pramuchyate. In fact, the previous verse says, Name vidus suragana prabhavamna maharshaya. Says, even the great demigods and the sages, they do not actually understand me. They do not know me. Because I am the source of all these people. So Krishna is speaking this verse to show that how this knowledge is very difficult to understand without the mercy of the devotees. Because demigods are great elevated souls. They cannot understand because they are attached to sense gratification. And one may say, okay, somebody is very renounced, can he understand? No. Even the sages, they do not understand me, although they are greatly renounced. So in order to understand me, one has to get the mercy of my devotees. Huh. So, in fact, we see that even the great demigods, Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, how even the demigods, the residents of the heavenly planets, they are attached to sense gratification. It is explained that when Krishna was present in the earthly planet, he was conducting so many sacrifices. So because he was conducting so many sacrifices, all the demigods, they were actually practically on the earth planet. They would personally come to accept the remnants, whatever the offerings which were given to them. But then the wives of the demigods, so they were attached to their husbands, so they wanted the association of their husbands. So they prayed for the appearance of Lord Buddha. They were not satisfied that Lord Krishna is present in the earth. They prayed for the appearance of Lord Buddha because they knew that when Lord Buddha appears, then he will stop all the sacrifices so that we will get the association of our husbands. So in this way, we see that even in the heavenly planets, people are attached to sense gratification. So then Krishna says, the other reason is that because I am the source of all of them, so they do not know me. So in order to get the mercy of Krishna, in order to understand Krishna, one has to get the mercy of the devotees. So simply piety is not sufficient. Simply being pious is not sufficient. Like even Jarasandha was very pious. But then, he was so envious of Lord Krishna. And it is explained that Nalakvera and Manigrave, when they got the mercy of Lord, when Narada Muni, so they could actually understand Lord Krishna. So if Nalakvera and Manigrave, if they had seen Krishna in their heavenly bodies, they would have actually offended Krishna. So when a child is sleeping, if a mother wants to feed some medicine to the child, mother may actually pinch the child. Although the child has no grudge towards the mother, mother may pinch the child in order to give the medicine. So the child wakes up and then child may cry and then mother will give the medicine. So although Nalakvera and Manigrave, although Narada Muni did not have any grudge towards Nalakvera and Manigrave, nor did they have grudge towards Narada Muni, still Narada Muni went and cursed them to become trees. And they had the consciousness of the demigods, but they had the bodies of the trees. Previously they were going in airplanes, but no, they were trees, so they could not move. Previously they were eating different things. They were swimming in the Mandakini Ganga, but now dogs were coming and passing urine at them. Previously they were eating nice foodstuffs, now they were just drinking some water. So this, they had the consciousness of the demigods, but then because they were they had this bodies of the trees, and then by the mercy of Narada Muni, they were actually delivered by Lord Krishna. So then in the third verse, Krishna says, Yomam ajam anadim cha vetti loka maheshwaram. So Krishna says, one who knows that I am unborn and I am beginningless and I am the controller of all the planetary systems, such a person who is unbewildered, he becomes freed from all sins and then he attains pure devotion to me. So Krishna is saying, using the word ajam. Ajam means unborn. Krishna is saying that I am different from all the materially conditioned souls. Because all the conditioned souls, they have a birth. They are not unborn. They have a birth and then they go through death and then they again take birth. But then Krishna says, I am unborn. So I am different from all the conditioned souls. And also I am different from all the material products which are unconscious. And Krishna is using the word anadim. That means I am beginningless. That means Krishna says that, maybe conditioned souls they are not unborn, but the liberated souls, they are unborn, one may say, because liberated souls, once they achieve the state of liberation, they never go through birth and death, so they are unborn. But then the liberated souls, especially the sadhana siddhas, that is those who attained perfection by the performance of sadhana, they have a beginning. So they are not beginningless. So they may be unborn, but then they have a beginning. So Krishna says, but I am different from all these sadhana siddhas also. It's like somebody may be poor and somebody may have become rich by working hard. And somebody may be rich by getting the property of their parents. So there are different kinds of people. Krishna is saying, but I am different from all of them. Krishna says, I am also different from the Nitya Siddhas. That is why he uses the word Vetti Loka Maheshwaram. It means I am the controller of all the planets. So there may be some people who may be unborn. They may also not have any beginning. The Nitya Siddhas, the eternally liberated souls, they don't have any birth and death, and they also do not have any beginning. But then, they are not the controllers of all the planetary systems. So Krishna says, I am different from all these people. In fact, he says that I am also different from Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they may be controllers of all the planets, but then they are not anadi, they are not beginningless. They have a beginning. So when a person understands that how Krishna is distinguished from all others by eternal lack of contact with the bad qualities of this material world, and how he eternally possesses all the opulences, how he is eternally the controller of all the planetary systems, then such a person becomes freed from all karmas, sarva pape pramuchyate, which act as an obstacle for the appearance of devotional service. So in this way, that's why in this verse, Prabhupada, Narada Muni says, the Supreme Lord is the master of all other living entities. He is the master of the conditioned souls, Nitya Siddhas, the Sadhana Siddhas, and also he is even the master of great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So in this way, when a person gets the mercy of the Lord, he will be able to understand the greatness of the Lord. One great devotee in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, he says, the nectar of Krishna Katha, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is like honey. And that honey is stored in big barrels and they are kept in a room. And the great devotees are like the honeybees. When the honeybee enters this room and when the honeybee tastes the honey, it becomes so much intoxicated by the taste of the honey, it starts dancing and singing. At the same time, it cannot stop tasting the honey. So it experiences a festival of taste. It is caught, the honeybee is caught between whether to sing or dance or to taste the honey. So the great souls are like that. They are actually, they relish the Krishna's pastimes, but then they go into ecstasy, but then they want to taste more and more. So this devotee is praying that I am waiting for that honeybee to come out of the room. And when the honeybee comes out, maybe few drops of honey may fall. And by that I will be able to taste those honey. So I offer my obeisances to those great souls who are engaged in relishing these pastimes of Krishna. And by their mercy, maybe I'll be able to taste little droplets of honey. And we also see in other places that how even the deity form of the Lord, sometimes one may take the deity form of the Lord as ordinary. So just like the family members of the Krishna, they considered Krishna similarly as a super soul. Maybe Krishna did not personally appear, but Krishna has appeared in the form of a deity. But even the deity form of the Lord is actually non-different from the Supreme Lord. But Prabhupada writes in one purport in the fourth canto, he says that a person who is engaged in the deity worship, it is equivalent to studying all the Vedic literatures 24 hours a day. In fact, when a person is engaged in decorating the deities or dressing the deities, it is actually equivalent to studying minutely all the purports of the Vedic literatures. And even a neophyte who is engaged in the worship of the Lord is supposed to be in direct touch with the purports of the Vedic knowledge. So even the deity form of the Lord is actually non-different from the Supreme Lord. So finally, we'll speak a little bit about the spiritual master. So this principle of accepting a spiritual master is so important that, like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his pastimes, like he actually preached to most of the people simply by chanting and dancing. Simply by seeing the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people became devotees. So somebody may say Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sentimental person. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the six Goswamis to compile the to read all the Vedic literatures and compile the and extract all the essence of the Vedic literatures and write books to establish pure devotional service. And when Rupa Goswami wrote Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he gave 64 principles of sadhana bhakti. Even before giving chanting the holy names or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or association of devotees, the first three principles are the most important. The first three principles are basically taking shelter of the spiritual master and serving the spiritual master. Because unless one follows these three principles, then like one will not know that how to execute the other principles properly. So that is why actually accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master is most important. In fact, Krishna, whenever he appears in every incarnation, he accepts a spiritual master. In one purport in the first canto, somehow it was so inspiring, this statement, Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj accepted Kripacharya as the spiritual master. So Kripacharya was actually involved in the killing of Abhimanyu, who is the own father of Parikshit Maharaj. But then, when they saw that he was a qualified person, Parikshit Maharaj accepted him as the spiritual master. So that means we see that, like this acceptance of a spiritual master is so essential for the advancement of spiritual life. Not only that, like the spiritual master, sometimes great souls, they may act in little contradictory ways, but then one should not actually misunderstand them. Sometimes great souls, they may be taking service from many people. Like renunciants, they are not supposed to take service from others, but then they may be taking service from others, but then one should not misunderstand. The third canto is explained that Devahuti, when he was about to leave her body, that Devahuti was being served by, who were supplied by Kardama Muni. Although Devahuti was a great devotee, then she was being served by the heavenly damsels. But then it is explained that Devahuti appeared like fire surrounded by smoke. So when a fire is surrounded by smoke, it appears very beautiful. So similarly, even when a great soul is taking service from others, still his greatness cannot be diminished. Just like Devahuti. And again in the fourth canto, it is explained, when Prithu Maharaj, when Maitreya Rishi describes about Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj was residing between the region of Yamuna and Ganga. And he was very opulent. And it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities. So, sometimes we may see that great souls, they may be enjoying so many opulences. But then, they are not the actually result of his past pious activities. Because when a pure devotee engages in devotional service, all his pious activities and sinful reactions, they are all completely vanquished. So whether he goes through suffering or whether he is enjoying, they are all result of his devotional service given by Lord Krishna. That's why in the Brahma Samhita it is said, Karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhajam. When a person performs devotional service, all the past pious activities or sinful reactions, all those seeds are completely burnt. They are burnt in such a way that it's not possible to sow them again, and then we cannot, it cannot grow, result in another plant. So similarly, when a great soul, he may be enjoying so many opulences, but then one should not actually, one should not misunderstand that these are result of his past pious activities. So we have many more points, but I'll prefer to stop here, because devotees must be. So just to summarize, we talked about how the Supreme Lord is taken as ordinary even by the family members. That we explained that how when Uddhava was explaining that even the members of the Yadu dynasty, they considered Krishna as merely as a super soul. And even Uddhava was bewildered about the contradictory activities of the Supreme Lord. But then he humbly questioned Lord Krishna. And then in order to understand the greatness of the Lord, one has to hear about the opulences of the Lord. How Krishna is the master of all the conditioned souls and the sadhana siddhas and the nitya siddhas, and also the master of even great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And next we saw how this principle of accepting a spiritual master is so important. And Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita that these are the main three principles of sadhana bhakti. And when great souls, sometimes when they be taking service from others, or they may be enjoying opulences, but then one should not misunderstand their activities to be the result of their past pious activities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.